fabulous. Massive amount of microphone, tiny little room. Cool. All right, we'll get started. Thank you very much for coming. I know you had many choices in your conference proceedings today. I value your custom. So, why are you here? Today, we're going to take a little bit of an adventure together on integrating security into an agile development lifecycle. Now, before we begin, let's talk about who I am a bit. My name's Laura Bell. I run a company called SafeStack. It's a specialist consultancy where we do just that day to day. I was DevOps before DevOps was cool, back in the COBOL days. I've used database systems you guys would think were kind of cute and twee and probably have to Google and probably wouldn't find still. When I'm not reminiscing about the sweet old days, I write a lot of bad Python, and I'm a former penetration tester. I get around a bit. So, for those of you who like the play at home game, there's a series of tweets going to be going out as I talk because I like that kind of pressure. Please follow along. There are free gifts, I promise. You know, spoilers, Easter eggs in the Twitter feed. Go for it. So you can find me at @lady_nerd, or just look for TechEd and just, you know, it'll be there, hopefully. If not, it's failed. All right, so let's talk about life, shall we? Once upon a time. So, once upon a time, coding was relatively simple. We did things in a logical order. We had a great idea or a not-so-good idea. We did a design. We did some coding. We maybe tested it. We put it live. You know, it was kind of a sequential thing. And security was quite simple, too. You had a sequential thing as developers, and we went, okay, we'll just add things into sequence. Awesome. So we called them gates. And that meant things like penetration tests or security reviews. And it was just another thing in your chain. And oh my goodness, did we love gates. We put them everywhere. You have an idea, we'll validate your idea and give you some thoughts on it. You have a design, we'll look at your documentation and review it. Then we'll realize there's no documentation, so we'll help you build documentation and review it. Then we will code review and we will do implementation reviews and we will do pen tests and social engineering tests. We have gates for everything. And it was awesome. Problem is, when you start doing agility, it doesn't scale all that well. So, for example, if, you know, from idea to deploy took 6 months, that was relatively simple. You just added a couple of days here and there for your extra gates. If you're doing it in 2 weeks, but a pen test takes 2 weeks on its own, and a code review takes about six, it didn't work. And all we ended up with was a lot of security gates that didn't really work for anyone, and a lot of development firms who decided, actually, this fits in the far too expensive and far too hard category, and just started ignoring it. Okay, that wasn't working either. So what are we going to talk about today? Today we're going to squish a few myths. There's a few nasty myths about agility and security, and I'm going to squash them, because that's what I do. Then I'm going to give you 10 steps that you in the audience today, can take home to your organizations and actually start doing security. I don't want to tell you what book to buy or what piece of software will revolutionize your world. There are vendors in the hub for that. Come, use my 10 things, start securing your own code. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about the challenges and pitfalls of doing that, because it's not easy. If it was easy, we would all be doing it already. So, let's get going. So, over the last 6 months, I asked a lot of developers why they don't do security, and these were the reasons I was given. Obviously, they had much longer stories with many expletives. I've condensed it slightly. We're expensive, like stupidly expensive. Security professionals, to keep one fed and watered, costs an organization a lot of money, and to most startups and agile firms, that's just not within reach. Security has a reputation for getting in the way of innovation. We like the word no. It's an awesome word. We use it a lot. We should probably be taxed. We are not trusted. Irony, really, considering we are all about trust. But we're not. That's an industry reputation thing. The exact words I got told were, you're angry patronizing people who like to charge me money. So I'm personally trying to change that. The results are not useful. Please raise your hand if you've developed the best PDF processing facility on the planet. Good. If you do, please let me know. You will be the richest person on earth. Because security results in pretty PDFs, and nobody can do anything with a pretty PDF. So, If it's not useful and you can't put it in your workflow, why are we doing it like that? And there's no contextual links. Someone like me or a pen tester comes into your firm, gives you a 20-page PDF document of what you've done wrong, telling you your baby is ugly. And then they say, fix it. And you go, what, hey? How do I do that? The advice you're getting has no contextual links to it. It has no grasp on the challenges your organization faces, your specific customers, your specific technologies. And I'm starting to see that, you know, we have a lot to learn. So security people like me are coming to the developer community and going, we have a lot to learn from you. We want to provide support so that you can be empowered to do your own security. In fact, people like me can make you look good. Proactive security engagement really is something that benefits your organization. It makes you ready for anything. You are going to survive if somebody attacks your system. You are going to survive if you get in the press because you are prepared and ready with statements. You're going to be more credible. You are thinking about threats. Threat is real. Security risk is real. You must have been living in a cave for the last few weeks if you weren't aware of security. Between naked whales and oiled, no, that's not going to go well. You just got to care about security now. It shows market awareness and it shows strategic thinking. Even if you're sat in this room as a normal everyday developer, you can't afford to not think about this stuff. So what do we need to be as security people and what needs to happen? We need to be able to empower you guys. I actually want to make myself partially redundant and you guys need to help me. And you're going to do that by learning stuff and you're going to do it by doing security as part of your job. It needs to be cost effective because we're in an industry that where prices are dropping of technology, where we value every cent because we can't add things to our bottom line just because we did security on top. We need to be pragmatic and flexible. Let's face it. I need to give common sense out to you guys because that's the kind of world we live in. And then it needs to scale and work with your workflows. If you're using tools every day that chain things together for your build cycles, then security should be so tightly woven into that it becomes business as usual and you're not thinking about it. So let's bust some myths. Really sorry. Just because you aren't aware you have security vulnerabilities in your application, it doesn't mean they're not there. So please raise your hand if you have security vulnerabilities in your system. The rest of you have either turned off all of your computers or maybe, you know, wrong room, who knows. But you can't avoid it. Saying la, 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 I can't hit doesn't work. The hackers don't care that you're going to put it on your long-term plan and think about it in 3 years. They really don't. How many of you work for organizations that have less than 50 employees? Any of you? Okay, how many of you have ever worked in a startup environment or one that claims to be startup? How many have ever heard the phrases such as, oh, New Zealand's never been invaded, they're never going to attack us online? Or my particular favorite, we're only little. They're going to spend all their efforts attacking Google. No, actually, really sorry. The interesting thing about security is that can you guys write scripts like in anything like PowerShell or Python or Bash or any archaic scripting language you can name? Raise your hand if you can write a script. Fantastic, you can be a hacker. Because hackers are fantastic at automating themselves. They can script it, they can send it on the internet, and suddenly you're a target. You're not a target because they love you and they think you're interesting. You're a target because you're on the internet. So we're all targets. The sky is not always falling. Everything is not always critical with security. So you get a security bug in your software, and a lot of people will instantly think that, you know, the world has ended. Oh my God, security bug, stop everything. Actually, it's not. We have taxonomies, we have risk guidances. We have everything from informational, which is, yeah, this kind of sucks, but we're only telling you, through to, oh dear Lord, turn off that server, please just turn it off now. We call that critical. So you don't need to overreact every time there's a security thing. You just need to be aware of it, understand it, and consciously manage it. Agility increases risk. How many of you have heard that before? None of you? One of you. Oh, hi. The common misconception with agility is that you are going to introduce more security bugs because you can't gate your processes. You can't have a pen test every 2 weeks. You can't have a code review on everything you deploy. The true fact is, however, that while security bugs may get through because of the lack of gates, the response time from actually putting the bug in and getting it found to deploying a fix is actually measured in days rather than weeks and months. If you're in a traditional waterfall model and it's six monthly deployment schedule, you've got a real problem when it comes to putting through a security patch. You might be able to put something in outside of hours in a change control exception, sure. But in Agile, it's business as usual. You fix it quickly, you get it out on the next deploy train. That could be daily, that could be hourly. But suddenly, your risk is there, but it is mitigated quickly. So, let's get to the meat of it. Let's cover 10 things you can do today in your organizations to become better, stronger, and more secure. I don't care what your budget is. I don't care what your organization size is. I don't care what certificates you have on your wall. I do not care what multiple choice exam you have passed in your life. Sorry. There are no excuses here. There is nobody too good for this, and there is nobody who's getting it right. I know that. I work with a lot of organizations. It's a field that is continuously evolving. So let's start with the foundations. If I asked you to list every technology, every library, every operating system or application in your architecture, in your environment right now, raise your hand if you could do it. You're a liar. So this is one of the most challenging things for most organizations. When we have innovative ideas, we bring in technologies to help us. We don't write everything ourselves. If we had to write the operating system and then the networking tools, and then we would get so bogged down into supporting our development process, we would never get the innovation done. So we use good things provided by other people. One of the most common mistakes an organization will have is not keeping track of what components they have in their organization. Not knowing what's there means you cannot patch it, you cannot update it, you cannot monitor for security risk. You can't keep an eye on if something better and stronger and more secure has come out to replace it. Know what's in your architecture, keep a record of it. Now, you'll note all the way through these tools, I'm not saying use this spreadsheet template or use this expensive tool. I don't care what tools your organization use. You could be using Evernote and Trello. You could be using old school Microsoft Access databases. I don't care. Record it in a way that works for your organization. Learn how to add, adapt, and abandon. Now, something will be coming out on the Twitter feed with an article in big, large letter depth about this, but it's a key part of bringing security to agility. Learn how to add new processes. So, for example, if you're a Scrum organization, you will be quite familiar with having retrospectives, with having reviews, with having grooming and planning sessions. Add new processes if it suits your lifecycle. Add a security review in there if it works. But even better than that, adapt what you have. Agile lifecycles are really very clever in the fact that they have good artifacts and good process to structure your sprints, regardless of whether it's a few days or a few weeks. Add simple things to each of these processes and artifacts to bring security in so that you don't have to schedule it special. It's just there. That includes things like integrating security into your retrospectives if something's gone wrong. Integrating security into your grooming so that by the time you've reached your definition of done, security has already been considered. And then learn to abandon things. Security is quite old school in some senses. We've developed massive governance frameworks over the last 20 years, and we're quite proud of them. But they came out of large organizations, out of government departments, out of giant organizations like Ford. These don't work when you're scaling. So stop trying to shoehorn the old school process into your current environment and look at what those processes were trying to achieve. If they were trying to get you to think about your requirements in advance, do that. If they were trying to get you to record your risk, don't go for a full risk management governance framework. Go for a spreadsheet that's got your risks on and maybe color code it. Adapt and abandon at will, but keep the objective and the intent in place. Create a simple risk taxonomy. Now, there's some important things about this. We're all familiar with these words on the board. I don't even need to read them out. We call things critical, regardless of whether they're a security bug. Just regular bugs are critical. Emergency situations we call critical. The important thing about having a simple risk taxonomy isn't the words. It's having a shared understanding in your organization of what they mean to you. One man's medium is another man's critical. If you work in a large organization that has safety critical systems like SCADA, then you know you are going to be erring towards simple problems are quite critical. If you actually just work in a startup and you know you're doing back-end software, you might be towards the bottom. Understand these words across all your developers. You don't want to waste time with misunderstandings of what medium really means. Now, if you need it, go and look at an authoritative source. CVSS is the common vulnerability scoring system, and they have giant encyclopedia-like documents of how to calculate these scores and get a word out at the end. Be familiar with them and use them every day. How many of your organizations have technical debt? Anyone not familiar with what technical debt is? Okay. So technical debt is the idea that as we go along and as we develop our applications, we often have to face a decision of, do we implement all of the features and things we need to do now, or do we put it on the list and come back to it when we get a bit more resource or a bit more time? Now, often those things will be part of our natural pruning of requirements. So things will make it onto our technical debt list, and maybe they never make it off again, because we realize that our application didn't need that or our customers didn't really want it. Now, unfortunately, security debt has become one of those things. Over time, we've gone, oh, we know we really need to spend some time on our authentication system, but for now it works, so let's just keep going because we need some customers. So security debt has been added to this list. And it's a natural process, and I'm not trying to stop you getting a debt list together. What I am saying is not all debt is equal. Security debt is on that list. Prioritize it and fix it. There should not be security debt left on your list languishing for months and months on end. In fact, if you think you can outrun it forever, you're in for big surprises later. Because what you don't want to do is put it off for 2 years and a hacker show you why you needed to care. Bring security into your requirements. So security is often something that comes in quite late. We find out about our security holes via a penetration test or a review. What I'm saying to you is bring it in really, really early. I mean, at the same time you're bringing in, this is a cool idea if we could. Bring in the security stuff then. Make security requirements a cool, innovative thing to put in your software. Make security a selling point for what you're doing. Never be afraid to push back on customer requirements in favor of security, because actually it's quite easy to market security to your customers. They understand it. They just don't know what to ask for. So bring it in early and bring it in often. Now, in most organizations now, they have maybe one security person, if you're lucky, and traditionally he sat with a network team. That's not all that handy. So find someone in your organization that can come in to your grooming sessions, to your ideas sessions, to your strategy sessions, and represent security. And that could be one of you in this room. There is nothing stopping any of you deep diving security and getting your head around and getting good at it. There is no magic, there is no secret sauce, there is no book to read or certificate to get. All you need to do is care enough to go read and go learn. Now, the picture at the bottom, how many of you used planning poker cards before? All right, so people are storytellers. One of the problems I found dealing with agile workflows is if you let people in a planning meeting tell stories, they will. If you say, okay, so tell me about this requirement, what's the severity of the risk here? They will talk for 3 or 4 minutes and they will explain in detail why it could be many things, but it's very difficult to coherently pick out whether they said it was a high, medium, or low. In fact, to be honest, and that's just a secret, most of the time we're hiding the fact that we're not sure, because it's hard to say we're not sure because it makes us feel vulnerable. So, on the Twitter feeds, here's your free gift. There is a PDF. You can go download, you can bring it into your organizations and cut and stick and paste and create your own actual cards to take into your requirements planning meetings. And to your triage of bugs. There's two sets of cards there. You've got information, all low, medium, high, and critical. And these are your how serious do I think this is cards. Now share them. Have a set that covers everyone in your team. Give everyone their own set. For example, if you're triaging a bug, name the bug, list it, list the high-level definition, then as a group, flip your card. Do you think it's, which risk do you think it is? So some might say medium, some low. What you've done at that point is reduce storytelling. At that point, all you've got to discuss is why there's differences, if there's difference. If there's no difference, don't debate it. You've just made a decision by flipping a card. You're familiar with these ideas from planning poker, so do it for your security stuff too. The same goes for the now, later, and never cards. Now, it can be quite hard with security things to go, this is important, but we don't need to do it now. And I know that's difficult because I'm professionally in this field. And it's one of the most difficult things to do, say, for now, we can't address this risk, but we're going to do it later. In the same measure, it's hard to be that person in the meeting that says, we can't fix it today. Or alternatively, it's hard to be the person who says, we have to fix it this second right now. I don't care how many people it takes. So use it to take the friction out of the conversation, flip your cards, then discuss difference. Don't discuss if you all agree. It's wasting everyone's time. So, go forth, make cards. Prepare for the worst. How many of you in here are involved in monitoring systems or do any kind of infrastructure support stuff? How many of you are also developers who just raised their hands? Okay, that's good. So what we want to see is an awareness that developers, yeah, everyone else, I guess, maybe, you're responsible for your code from the second you type it on the keyboard to the minute it dies a horrible death by the delete key. So once it's been deployed, once it hits that server, I'm sorry, the infrastructure team don't care. It's your code still. It's still you that are going to come and call at 3 a.m. when it goes wrong. It's still you that needs to be aware when there's a security bug that you need to fix it. So everyone, not just the infrastructure team, not just the security guy, everyone is responsible for preparing for the worst. You should always know when you write code what you're going to do if there was a vulnerability found in it. You should know what a vulnerability might look like and where you should be monitoring. You should have a response plan. Now, once upon a time, incident response was something that was secret and it was kind of hidden. And the response plan would sit with like the CIO or the CTO, and it would be awesome. And they'd have like a lovely tower made of these documents. I call rubbish on that. If you're in an organization right now that has a CIO that's not sharing your incident response plan, if you haven't even heard about your organization's incident response plan, go challenge them. You guys are first line defense. You guys are the incident responders. Eventually, it's going to come to you, so be prepared. And then get feedback. If you're finding patterns with the bugs you're seeing, with the attacks you're seeing on your systems, regardless of whether they're successful, feed this back into your monitoring systems. Feed it back into your processes and into your code. Don't be caught making the same bugs twice. Build an empire one developer at a time. Now, this deserves a little bit more time than some of the others. Information security has a really big problem. I can name all of the penetration testers that are operating in New Zealand right now. There are around 20. In terms of security consultants, there are probably around 50. In terms of skilled security managers, there's probably about the same number. Now, how many organizations write software in New Zealand? Just a hint, it's more than 50. If you want to keep a security person in your organization, it's like trying to find a unicorn and then trying to make one happy and stay in one place. It's hard. And I know that because we are difficult creatures. We really are. I'm sorry. So don't try and catch yourself a security person. Build an empire that is everyone in your organization. Train everyone. Every single developer you have needs to know about secure development. Every single person who might touch an incident needs to know about incident response. Your HR lady, yeah, she needs to know about social engineering. And I mean it, she really does. Your first line support desk, you should be training them as if they are your first defense. If you were going into battle, would you ill-equip your first line people? Would you give them wooden sticks and go, just yell really loud, it'll be cool? No, you wouldn't. You'd give them really big, shiny, pointy sticks and show them how to point them in the right direction. So do that with your first tier. Do that with your second tier. Do it all the way up to the top of your organization. If any amongst are in that C-level in your organization, you need to know this stuff too. You need to know how to weave it into your strategy. You need to know how to understand when somebody comes with an issue or a resource requirement that's security related. You can't, in New Zealand, keep your own security person unless you're in a large organization. So don't try, build an empire. And part of this is equipping your developers and your champions for security to building workflows around security. So the best people I know try and make themselves redundant. So I'll give you a bit of an example. I've got a bit of a strange background, most security people do. Now, I went for a very interesting job interview once. It was 5 days. And I turned up and they went, right, here's your terminal. And for 5 days, they gave me script after script after script to write, tool after tool to build, problem to solve, problem to solve. The whole idea was to see how I reacted for 5 days. And the pressure kept going and it got harder and harder and harder. And all the way through this week, this guy just kept tapping my shoulder and going, what are you doing? And I'd say, oh, yeah, I'm doing this job because, you know, new boss man wants me to do it and I'm going to do awesome. And he's like, oh, all right. And I'd be still doing it an hour later. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, you know, still doing it because, you know, I want to do a good job. He's like, nah, rubbish. Like, oh, what? And it got to the end of the week. And actually what I realized was that I was never going to win this battle. I was never going to be able to keep manually doing all of these laborious tasks. And he started coming to me and, yeah, so you made yourself redundant, yeah? I was like, no, I'm trying to get a job. He's like, oh, nah, script it. In a day, all the jobs were done, and I was sat there basically painting my nails. He's like, yeah, awesome, fantastic, great. I was like, who the hell are you? He's like, yeah, I'm your boss. Right, so now you've scripted all of the boring tasks we've had for the team for like 3 years. So let's invent some cool security jobs. That's what I want in technical people. I want people who look at their job and go, this is rubbish. This part of my job bores me to tears. I'm going to script and automate it. Now, what's this got to do with security, you're asking, right? Automated things are predictable. When you build a car, for example, it is a set of finite parts that work in a mechanical system. It has inputs and outputs. It is predictable. By automating something, you are taking the randomness out of it. So much like cars, scripting and automating your workflows means they are more predictable. And security risk is introduced when things become unpredictable or when humans are involved in general. The other thing I say is look at the tools you're using day to day. If you are using a particular build manager or if you're using a particular chat function in your organization, find ways to link these things together in chains. Make it so that you can script end-to-end processes, not just individual components. Make it so that things run automatically. Find tools that slot into that environment. There are lots of great online source code analyzers for security or in-house ones that you can put into your flow. Best thing about putting it in a script and put it in your tool chain, you don't have to worry about it because it's done. Job done, awesome, fantastic. And security fails when it's special and when it's a one-off. So for most organizations, they only really see security people when they're about to have an audit. And somebody will come up to you and go, right, we're going to have an audit this month. Fantastic. Have you got your documentation ready? And they'll work with you for a bit, and you'll write some documentation for the only time that year. And you'll get really, really good at pointing to the right parts on the diagram. And certain people will probably be sent on training because you don't really want them around when the auditors are in. Security fails in these environments. It becomes such a novelty that you all have a great big drink and a big success party at the end of an audit and pack everything away and don't think about it again for another 12 months. That's not how the world works. That's not how security works. The threat from security is consistent and it's constant. It's always there, right? When you do a special event, you reinforce to your organization that security is a one-time special trick that you do when you have to and when a man with a clipboard comes. Fantastic. Probably a surface now, you know, times have changed. Security needs to be so tightly woven into everything that an auditor could rock up on a particular day, ask you questions, and you go, yeah, sure, that's over there, that's normal, and you just point them to a thing. You shouldn't ever have to be in a position where you're preparing for audit because security wasn't done the rest of the year. So make it every day. Make it fun. Make it so that people are encouraged to do security, so that they are encouraged to talk about it day to day. Make social activities with security focus. Have a lunch session. Have an evening event. Have a lock-picking group in your organization. Make security so part of the culture of your organization that people enjoy doing it and ask for more. Security shouldn't be special. It shouldn't just be for a few people in your organization. It should just be like scaling and performance, something you all do. And then outsource really smartly. It's really expensive to outsource on anything, regardless of whether you're getting an Oracle expert in or a security person. And if you're going to spend your money, research the options. You will know, if you've been around the internet lately, that the barrier to entry to any business is can you register a business and can you build a website? Awesome. So all of you could set up a security consultancy tomorrow and nobody would know any different. In fact, if you went and got yourself a multiple choice exam, CEH or something, you'd even have a slight bit of credibility to the wrong people. So what I'm going to do is challenge you to hold your outsource providers to a higher standard. If they're not doing active research and looking into something interesting in your field, they're probably not at the head of the game. They're probably not pushing themselves in the right direction. If they're not out there and all you can see is a shiny sales booklet, then blur. Can you make a sales booklet? Can you operate Paint? Yes. So that doesn't give you credibility. That gives you marketing dollars. Hold them to a high standard. Research your options and go and talk to people. Turns out security people actually really like talking to developers. We come to your conferences and everything. We're the awkward people at the back who don't really know anyone. So come say hi. And be demanding. If you've got workflows such as you've got a bug tracking system that has a REST API and you need to process things into it, get it in there, get your results of your testing and your services in a format you can automatically script and upload. If a PDF is difficult for your organization, get a PDF so you've got a permanent record, but also ask them for the CSV. Ask them for a format of data that works for you. You are not collecting pen test reports. There is not a prize for that. You are not more secure if you've got six of them. All it means is you've got six loads of vulnerabilities that are somewhere disjointed and abstract from your process. So challenge your outsource providers to work with you and your systems, because as an industry, we're trying to change and come to you. We just need to know what formats you need back. So let's talk about some common challenges. There were 10 things there you could easily do yourself. Nothing there costs money, except for maybe a bit of cutting and sticking time for making some cards. So how do you overcome this and actually make it work, right? The first rule is that compliance will kill you. I mean, absolutely kill you stone dead. So compliance with things like PCI is mandatory, whether we like it or not. But we have to understand that while we have to meet compliance obligations, they are a really scary, fuzzy, warm, safe place, and they may not be helpful in the way we think. So PCI compliant organizations, are they secure? Please raise your hand. Yes or no? Yes. No. Not entirely sure. Don't know what PCI is. Awesome, honest people. Right, PCI is a payment card industry, right? That's run by Visa and MasterCard, and they have some lovely standards that govern the areas of your systems that are in scope for PCI, and that's really, really important. Scope is a very tricky beast. You can be perfectly PCI compliant, but one of the most insecure, vulnerable organizations I've met. Now, you have to meet your compliance obligations for the simple fact that if you get breached and you are not compliant, they will fine you to oblivion. And that's not a $20 fine, that's millions of dollars. And nothing puts you out of business quicker than a fine. Then, once you've got your shiny compliance certificate, you put it in a drawer and forget it exists. Because now the work starts. All those other systems that your QSA happily put out of scope need work. That marketing site that you outsourced to that random firm because they were cheap and they put it on a Drupal instance, yeah, that's in scope for security. It may not have been for PCI. If you've got old systems, legacy systems, systems that are written in code that weren't even cool when you were young, they're in scope for security. All those people that work for your organization, the people that you see every day, Bob and Sally and Jesse and Ralph, names, they're in scope for security. What about the buildings? What about your name tag systems? What about when you travel, the laptops you're traveling with, the devices you issue? All of it is in scope for security. So do your compliance stuff. That's going to keep your business actually in business. But treat it as something you do and you keep it maintained, but that's not your primary focus. Your aim is security, not compliance. Maintain momentum. Now, there's an interesting learning curve when it comes to security. And it goes something like this. You start doing security and you go, amazing, we are going to be the most secure organization in the history of mankind. Fantastic. And you start, you do code reviews and you do lunches and talks, and everyone is feeling excited. But very quickly, you start to realize that it's working, and that's a bit of a problem. You see, your bug tracking system is slowly starting to populate with actual bugs. And unlike Pokemon, you do not win if you collect them all. There is never a finite number. That number is going to get higher and higher and higher. So at that point, you start going, oh, hang on, what do I do with all these bugs, right? And that enthusiasm that was helping you get things done and keeping things turning over starts to slowly diminish as the bugs are rising. And you have this critical catastrophic moment where you realize you've bitten off way more than you can chew. And that actually, security's got a lot to do. And that, you know, all those cool innovative features, maybe I might have to put some of them on the back burner a bit. And basically, this is where you have a meltdown. And most people at this point creatively name their tickets so that they don't look like security tickets anymore. Or they stop the auto reminder they get when a new security bug's raised because they really don't want to be told 20 times a day that there's a new bug. And we kind of run and hide. That's normal. I say, don't look at your total number of bugs as a we've got to squish them all. Look at your total number of bugs and go, I want to do one thing every day. I want to keep the momentum going so that I have a steady, small, slow velocity of getting better at security. Don't aim for perfection. Don't try and climb Everest if you can't get to the garden gate. It's really hard to keep your momentum in security. So do it as a team, do it in pieces, and don't aim for perfect. You're setting yourself up for failure. Aim for more secure than yesterday, even if that's just as simple as going, today I'm going to change my password. Today I'm going to look up that library that I've been using for 2 years and see if it has any bugs. Today I'm going to challenge somebody that's walked into my building and I don't recognize them. So I'm going to say, hi, who are you? Do one little thing every day, because if in a 50-person organization everyone does one thing, you've got a lot of things going on in a year, right? Now, if your organization is starting out in security and they want to carry on this little one step at a time momentum, follow along SafeStack on Twitter. Clearly, I have a business, but what I'm trying to do is actually give away a lot of what I know, because I'm not a magician, I'm not a charlatan. There is a hashtag, Startup Security Challenge. And every single workday for a year, every week, we are going to have a theme. And there are activities you can go and do in your organization. And I'm not here to monitor you. I'm not here to judge you. You guys are responsible for doing it. But if you want to join along, come along. Share your stories and do it together. And use your words. Security people like me, we like the word no. It's really cheap. And the best thing we can do to remove risk is to say no. You guys want to use a cloud solution for all of your financial handling? Nope, no security risk. Awesome, I've done my job. But actually, you guys are engineers. Now, engineers are interesting people. You're a bit of a special breed. If I say, no, you can't do that, what do you do? You'd go above me, around me, right the way through the middle, or you just avoid me entirely. You're engineers, you are problem solvers. If I give you a problem, you will solve it, and I probably won't like the solution. So, security people like me, we're practicing really hard at stopping saying no, or using it less, making it a heavy word. Now, engineers and innovators, you guys are really good at saying yes, because it's awesome and it's cool and it gives your customers what they want. That's a really scary word for people like me, because when you guys say, I'm just going to use this library, it'll be great, we're going to send our information, I have a heart failure and go, oh my God, what did you just say? So I'm trying to say yes more. I want you guys to say yes slower. I want you to think a little bit beforehand and understand a few of the risks first. We can totally do these things. We have to adapt to a world where we are using cloud services, where we are integrating together and where we are sharing data. So we security people are going to say yes to you, but it's going to come with conditions and risks and understanding. And we're going to enable you, but you have to listen, you have to come to us. So it's kind of a deal on our part. You guys encourage us to say yes, but help us to by coming to us with the problems. Don't go around us, through us, or over us. Don't avoid us altogether. Bring us in and make us part of what you're doing. So we've had a bit of a jaunt, right? And we're going to finish relatively early because what I like to call this slot is the graveyard slot. It's the one before lunch. So all of you are sat there going, oh dear God, I've not eaten in 2 hours. And will there be more sausage rolls? So I'm going to wrap up relatively quickly. But the lovely people at Microsoft are awesome. And they gave me mystery boxes. Mystery boxes. So I want you to, as a group, I want you to raise your hand and make a pledge today. And the most interesting pledges, we've got four things here, are going to be gifted free stuff. So I want you to publicly make a promise today on doing one security thing for your organization. Anyone brave enough to come and join in? Nobody? Because I'll take them home. I've got a kid. This mystery box, amazing. All right, gentlemen.
I pledge to say yes more slowly.
Awesome. Come pick a thing. Now you can't say that one, just for the record. Duplicate entry. No. All right, gentlemen at the back.
I pledge to say no to the screwing person unless they give you a good reason why.
Touché. Come pick a mystery package. I have no idea what they are. They're shiny. Two more. Gentleman at the back with glasses.
I pledge to say that I'll have security involved very early in all my internal projects at the non-functional environments based in functional environments as well.
So, gentlemen in the room, ladies, you heard the gentleman. If he's not doing it, hold him to it and come take a snazzy, shiny gift thing. One last person. Yeah, train, learn. Okay, cool. So, we're 10 minutes early. I'm not going to see that as much as a failure. What I want you guys to do is to actually go, yeah, security is your problem. I want you to take little steps every day, and I want you to come and talk to people like me, and people like Kirk, who's happily avoiding me on the front row here, because there are security people, there's security people amongst you all the time. And actually, we want to help you. We want to sit and we want to talk and we want to listen to your problems. We don't want to do it because we're selling you expensive things. We want to do it because we want to make the world more secure. So come and have a talk with us. Find me on Twitter, find me on email, buy me a coffee. Let's have a chat. And thank you for coming. Just one last plug. This is the nice academic last-minute stand-in talk for me. However, there's a big shiny one on Friday that's a little bit different. If you've ever thought about robbing a bank, stealing the guy next to you's wallet, or generally causing ruckus, and you want to do that more, come on Friday to the Sky City Theatre at 10:40, and we'll talk about why that's an awesome thing, and why, within the realms of the Crimes Act of 1966, I'm going to encourage you to do that.